Right, y'all. So, who knows what that was or why we had the glitches. But I'm glad that you all are back on with us for episode, I think we're in episode number five. I think we're up to episode number five of the True Colors podcast. So, really excited that you all are sticking with us again. Quick apologies on the little technical difficulties. Like I said, I feel a little bit like the baby face and challenge. Looking at my technology, saying what's going on, but there she is, the woman of the hour is here. How you doing, Tanya?
I'm good. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but I'm trying.
It's good, man. This is a brave new world that we're into. So we're just excited that we get an opportunity to chat with you and that everybody back on one is locked in and ready to go. I'm so. I can't stop smiling, man, because this Fox Foundation Fellowship, congratulations.
Thank you.
Man, it's exceptional achievement, distinguished achievement. You are one of only a handful of actors to receive it this year. Can you just tell me, what does that feel like? What does it feel like to win an award like that, to be recognized across the nation as one of the most distinguished actors this year?
First of all, I just want to say I thank God. You know what I mean? It's all about the God piece because I know that it has nothing, well, it has something to do with me, but a lot of prayer, a lot of hard work. And it feels really surreal to me right now. Like I haven't really connected with it being like mine. I'm like waiting to be found out or something like that. They gonna come back and get it. So I'm still just feeling because I've been doing this a minute. I'm of a particular age and I've been in the game for 30 years. And so it's been a lot of no's. It's been a lot of yeses, but there's been a lot of no's. And in my career, I've been nominated for a lot of things, but I haven't won them. And I know it's not just about that, but that's how I feel. All I can say is real, but I am so grateful. When we did the orientation that we couldn't do it in New York, obviously because of what's going on right now, I instantly felt connection. I instantly felt a family. I instantly felt that now things can be bigger. I instantly felt that I had more support. I instantly felt that I belonged. And once I really come to terms with this grant, I know that I'll just be overjoyed. But I'm so grateful and God, the God piece.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, when we found out the we had to sit on the news for a little bit, and it was tough. I remember you calling me saying, "Oh, got it, we got it, we got it." And I was, man, there are certain things that make me so proud of you, and this is definitely one of them.
Thank you.
Yeah. So quickly, I wanted to just kind of run down with a couple of questions. Everybody here, may not know your entire story. We don't. That'll take the entire hour.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got started acting, and what led you to this interview.
Well, I'm going to talk a tiny bit about being a little girl, and then I'll go to my professional just quickly. I just remember that I've always been an artist, and God rest Marion McClinton's soul, who is both of our mentors. He told me when I was 20 years old that I had the soul of an artist because I was going through some stuff. I remember being a little girl and watching things like Zoom or Sesame Street or all those things, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't be on it. Like, I would worry my mother to death. She'd be like, "Girl, if you don't get somewhere," I'm like, "No, but you're supposed to take me wherever they do that and put me on there because that's what I'm supposed to be doing." I could feel it. And so I've always felt like that was something that I was supposed to do. And I would take like little nursery rhymes, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I would do Goldie and the Bears. And I would rewrite it and make my friends. We would perform at school or we would just act like it's just what, because being from the Twin Cities, the beautiful thing about that is that community was strong. And oh, we had a lot of stuff to improv with. Even though we didn't grow up with a whole bunch of money, we had a lot of stuff to improv with. So I was able to do my creative stuff as a little girl. Professionally, though, after I left the Goodman School of Drama, DePaul University, my first professional production was Grapes of Wrath at Steppenwolf in 1989. And it was mind-blowing because I went in there, Frank Galati and all these people, and you know, Gary Sinise, and I had to audition for these folks. And I'm like, oh my God, and I'm 19, I'm green. And I just went in there and I was raw and I did my stuff. And they was like, oh my God, blown away. Cause I didn't have sense enough to not just go in there and do what I do. And that was my first professional gig. And then I joined Penumbra Theater. Marion cast me in Unfinished Women Cry in No Man's Land While a Bird Dies in a Gilded Cage at Penumbra. After that, I became a company member. He put me in my second August Wilson piece, which was Piano Lesson. Mm-hmm. No Turn Is Come and Gone. I was just able to just really hone my talent at Penumbra. Then I worked at Guthrie and Mixed Blood. And then I did regional. And then I ended up here. I've been all over the place. So that's sort of how I got started. Chicago is how I got started.
You know, and I think it's important, right, to underline that, you know, it was both your initial, like, desire. God put something in you early in your life. You know, that, like, hey, this art thing, I'm an artist. And then Marion McClinton, you know, reflected back to you that, hey, you have the soul of an artist. This is a thing.
Yeah.
And you also got, you know, training, DePaul, Steppenwolf,
you were
early in your career. So, you know, it's both that drive, that, like, that calling, and a series of opportunities that, you know, sharpen your skills, that keep you on your path.
Yes, and first, and I also want to mention that in high school, art saved my life because Jan Mandel, who was married to Marion McClinton, I was a part of Neapolitan Players at St. Paul Central in high school. And the beautiful thing about that, it was loosely based on guerrilla theater, which means that we were able to come in and write about whatever was going on in our neighborhoods or in our community or inside of us, and we would put it on paper, and we would go to places like Wisconsin and Iowa, and we would perform all this stuff. You know, and so that's when I first learned about art for social change. That's when I learned about guerrilla theater. That's when I learned about art being political,
mm-hmm.
right? And that we can use art in order to make differences and make a change in the world.
And so when people say, you know, why Tanya or why this Fox Foundation Fellowship, it's like, it's that. Like, so True Colors, we believe that we thrive at the intersection of artistic excellence and civic engagement. What we're saying is that our artistic practice is important to the civic and daily life of our community, because we are trying to say that the stories that we're putting on have intersections in our daily life. So when you're saying that art is political, art has meaning, art can
do
something, you can look at something and you can create that change, like Hello, I'm Hollywood is saying, you're the embodiment of that. Like, you've dedicated, since your time in high school, you've dedicated yourself and your craft to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. Like, I don't even know any other way of doing it. You know, being able to hone my talent at Penumbra, right? Those were some serious OGs who raised me up in theater, right? And so it was an honor and a privilege to climb up on the stage and on the boards and do anything. And when you climbed up there on those boards, you better bring it, right? And so I just learned that it was always bigger than me. When I was underneath Penumbra and Bellamy, I learned how we can create our own content and go out there and do it. We don't have to, we can be unapologetically Black without even talking about being unapologetically Black.
Tell it.
You know what I mean? We don't have to have the conversations because here we stand. When I walk in the room, you can't tell me that that's not the first thing that you see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, we don't live in some type of fantasy world where when you show up on stage, you're somebody other than that initially, right? Like, you transform those characters, but the first thing that they see is that, right? So that's what we have on stage. So, you know, quick shout out, because we haven't, shout out to Penumbra Theater, shout out to Bellamy, shout out to Running It Now, Terry Bellamy, Mary McClinton,
all of them,
Claude Purdy, Austin Bam was in that Penumbra family, our friends in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, St. Paul, holding it down.
Yes. And I didn't even realize, like, because I was just in it, right? You know what I'm saying? I was just a company member, and I just know the stakes were high, and I just knew ensemble, and I knew not to go up on that stage trying to be the star, because the play's the star, right? The play's the thing. And so just being trained under that, like, I'm so old school a lot of times when it comes to my process, but it works for me. You know what I mean? Because I just that's just the way those OGs trained me. Like it was serious. It's serious as a heart attack.
I want to talk about process. So you and I, we've done two shows together. We did King Headley the Second, which was my first show in Atlanta. So thank you for walking with me on that one. And then we had an opportunity to do Skeleton Crew, where you played an amazing, deep character named Faye, and I think you found all types of depth in that performance. Tanya, talk to me about, what is your process? How do you embody these characters so fully? What does it look like for you?
Okay, so the first thing I do is that I cut off anybody who tells me that I'm too serious about my craft and I'm too serious about how I go about the characters, right? And I'm doing too much. I eliminate them immediately because I don't need that. It doesn't serve me.
Work.
So I'll just talk about this because I've been doing this for so long that I have a lot of different tools in my toolbox. And so for each character, I pull out different things. So I'll talk a little bit about Faye, that process, because no, I just did radio, but I'll talk about Faye because we did that together. For Faye, I work from the inside out, right? So I do all my 5 Ws, the who, what, when, why, where, the basic, the backstory, where she was born. I do all of that stuff. But I do a lot of internal work. First of all, I read the play 4 times. The first time I got to figure out what's going on. The second time, where do I fit? All of that stuff. But for Faye, I had to work from the inside and the outside at the same
Don't skip that.
time.
There are people who may not know it. So you read it the first time, then you read it the second time. Just skip
Oh.
it. Because you're teaching a master class right here. People get.
Okay, so I read it the first time just so I know, reading the play to know what the play is about. And also, we get it before we audition to see if this is actually something that I want to do. The second time, I read it to see, okay, what's going on? What are the given circumstances? Where do I fit in this? And then the third time that I read it, I really go deeper into those given circumstances and I drop down into the world of it. And I try to, pretty much like drape myself in the time of the piece. The final time that I read it, I'm just going back to look and see if I missed anything. And I learned that from Penumbra. And you always try to do the work and you try to miss the least amount of things as possible because you're going to miss some stuff, but you don't want to go. When I talk about missing, I'm saying any actor who's on here will know that you'll do a play and you'll think about it after it closes and go, dang, I wish I would have did one, two, or three things. I try to make sure I get rid of the dangs. You know what I mean? I want to miss as least amount of things as possible. And I also go in relationship. I'm big on relationship. What are my relationships to every character, right? Because I'm an ensemble player. Straight up. Like, I do not play that star stuff on stage. We all in there together. So I figure out what everybody else's trajectory. I do everybody's through line, like where everybody's going, so that I know where I fit. Also with Faye, I had to work from the inside and the outside at the same time because I don't walk or move through the world the way that she moves through the world. So I had to do my body. I had to work on my body and walk through that stuff in my house and as we were rehearsing at the same time that I was joining the inside. It wasn't that hard for me to go on the inside of Faye because me and Faye's heart are the same. Then I had to go with the layers because she had so many layers. I had to deal with the cancer. Then I had to deal with her being a black lesbian in Detroit at that time. Then I had to deal with, the death of Reggie's mom. Then I had to, you know what I mean? The family, like all of that stuff. And then I get up there and I do that just about every day. Every day before I get on stage, there's a whole process because I don't stop. Marion said that. He said, that's one thing you need to work on. You don't never stop. Until the show closes. Because I don't like to miss stuff. And I also, Jamil, let me tell you something. Anybody who knows me, I don't like to let people down.
Yeah, it worked.
I don't like to let the art down. I know that the art saved my life. I know what an honor, what a blessing, what a privilege it is to climb up on a stage or walk on a set and people are actually watching you and paying attention to you. That's beyond, right? On every city block, there's 10 or 20 people who want to do what we do, and rarely do we get to make it. I remember just being a little girl, broken body, trying to figure out which way I was going to go in life. And theater, when I'm telling you, it was magical. It was like, if I can do this and make a little bit of money, like at the time, I just wanted to make just enough to get by. Just let me make something. It would be cool. Because this is it. And then I had, when I was at DePaul University's Goodman School of Drama, I had, there's a bunch of stuff that I took away. Bella Itkin, she would say, when you're doing this thing, you feel it in your sex. You give birth to it, always. And I also had a professor who would say, I want you to do this for a year. I want you to look through the paper. I want you to look for a job every Sunday. And if there's something in there that you want to do more than acting, you go and do that. Hmm. And I did that, and there never was.
Yeah.
I've always been, I'm shy. People don't know that about me, but I just act like I'm not, and that always worked for me. And so that's it. I mean, I'm just an actor. I'm just an artist, and it's not something that I picked. Who would pick this? You know, all these no's and all this stuff we have to go through, but it's just who I am, past the flesh and to the bone.
Man, Tanya, I'm over here hugging myself, man. Like, you giving me chills, man. Like, just... energy to speak about the work, right? Like, I mean, you don't disengage it from your sense of self. Like, you bring everything, and like, it is so apparent. Again, like, it is a joy to work with you in the hall. I'm telling you, my time in Atlanta was made so much better by having you as part of the process of my first show, and then working with you on Faye, the times, and just like, it is fun to dig into a character with someone who cares about that character, just
yes.
If not more than and me as a director, because I know like I can give you whatever I got, and you're gonna take it, and then you're gonna put it, and then every day on stage you're gonna leave it there, and
yeah,
and like so you know, we had you record a little bit of a Flashback Friday, so tomorrow will be one of our first Flashback Fridays in a while. And it was inspired by your Fox Foundation Fellowship. We asked you just to speak a little bit about that character, Faye. And I remember I just was watching that video. It's like, yeah, man, like that was her, like every day riding that roller coaster. And you knew when that thing was coming. For me, I was like, you know, I don't watch every show, but I know that, hey, if I'm going to get back, I'm going to watch a couple of these moments. Decides to let Dez have it because
thank you, brother.
Well, Brett, and I'm definitely going to watch that scene with you and Ray, in that second act, man, like it's, I loved watching it. Yeah, I got these questions here, but like now my brain is.
I love that. I love organic. You know that.
Yeah.
Let's throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
Word, right? That's what we do, right? Like we tried a couple of different times and we take our time. Like there's no rush. Like, you know, this ain't no fast food process. Like something that, yes, it's ephemeral. Yes, once we make it, it's going to be gone. But we got to make it right, because the people who come to see it are
going, yes,
to leave an indelible mark on them.
Yeah.
We're gonna change people. So we got to be slow in our process to make sure we do it right.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, you are both an actress who works in Atlanta and you have national credits. About what is it to create a strong presence locally, have such a strong foundation where you are, but also to expand and explore the national stage, you know, and you, of course, you do TV and film, but I'm also thinking right now just about the theater.
Yes, that's fine.
Talk about working locally and nationally, building yourself up. And also doing it on the national stage.
Okay, well, I love working in Atlanta. Like we were in the Fox Fellowship orientation. They talked about, where's your heart? Like, where does your heart live? You know, and I said Atlanta was one of my places. My heart lives in the West Coast. My heart lives in the Midwest. You know what I mean? So my heart is in. I was able to come to Atlanta without knowing anyone. And I was able to audition and create a life for myself here. So I love working here, because you can do film, television, you can do theater, you can create content, you can find community. You know, there's all of that stuff here. And of course, there's some stuff, you know, missing. That's everywhere. And just actually, like, it's just all the same. I'm just happy to work. I'm just happy to be in the room. I'm happy to be a part of the movement, wherever that movement is, wherever God wants me to go with that movement. It just feels really good. Like, that's the only thing I can say. And I feel really blessed and honored and grateful just to be still working in the field after 30 years. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to James Austin Williams, who was also one of my mentors. And I was going through something because I was like, you know, I've been putting in this work and I wish I was known more. I was talking about some mistakes I made. And he said, you know what? I went and I was talking to somebody in equity, and he said, I had to look back to see when I did my first job, and it was in 1985. From 1985 on up to this point, he's been working consistently. So I said, oh, so I went and tracked my stuff, and I've been working. I've been blessed to work consistently. When they do the statistics, equity, I'm always in that percentage of people that work. Now, have I made a ton of money? No, but I cannot lie to you and say that I haven't been a working actor.
Yeah, and I mean,
and it feels good everywhere. I guess that answers the question.
No, I think it's right. And I think the reason why people hit, you know, like I've had a couple of people, you know, reach out to me and say, hey, like, I know you've worked with Tanya, tell me a little bit about it. And the first thing I said, it's truth. You know, you'll ground yourself in that truth. And I think it's the truth is what continues that longevity, right? Like you talk about J-Dub, a proud member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. So J-Dub is another actor who is about that truth. What was in the water in St. Paul, man? What were y'all?
It was just, let me tell you, it was the, I can say that when I just came from Trinity Rep, right, and did a radio golf, it was sort of like that. A show would be closing, a show would be opening, and we would be in rehearsal. Like, it was constant. I remember Easter. It was an Easter. I will never forget this, because Ludic, he was like, okay, so I think either we had tech or two shows. We got a break to go home, eat you a little bit of dinner, and you come back to this theater so we can do this play. Like, it's always been that. And we've always been honest and just about the work, like, over and over, just grounded, just, like, telling the truth and telling the truth to each other. I remember being on stage with J-Dub one time, and I was, like, doing all of this emotion. Like, I was supposed to go, in seven again, I was supposed to go to the door and open it and then walk up. J-Dub came to me one night, he said, let me tell you something. If you don't get to that door and open, you've been acting this whole time. If they don't see your emotion, they ain't gonna never see it. Open that door and go in, because we hot in these costumes. We ready. So that's what I learned about, like, emotional or masturbation on stage. Like, you can't be doing that, girl. Just go and don't be doing all of that stuff. So that's the kind of thing. We honestly, we pulled each other up. We said, what's up? Like, we really, it was a family. It was a company. And I miss company. We're so transient in this business. And we're so busy competing with one another that we don't know that we have community. It's about community. You know what I mean? And that's what that was about. We like, they did not play. Like, just something like that, when they say actors don't, J-Dub didn't care about what they're talking about. He was hot, and he was ready to go, and girl, bye. And they would tell us, even if there was personal things going on in our lives, like, I've had them pull me up when I was having some dark times in my life and say, look, you need to pull it together, because this is not a bridge that you want to burn. Now, you can be on fire for a little while, but don't burn this bridge, because this is not only are you an artist, but if this is where your bread and butter is. So you need to figure out how to pull it together. I mean, there's so many gems that they dropped on me. And I've been able to play it forward, working at Penumbra Theater Summer Institute, working with those babies. I see kids that I've touched all over the world doing fantastic things, and I weep. I see people that I've worked with here. Brittany Inge is one of them. That girl, I can't even with her. Like, I don't even know. She's just one of them. So if anybody sees, I love all y'all. I was just saying Brittany because I saw her name. But I'm saying, just watching people who apply the work, respect the work, respect the people who came before them, understand that they're standing on shoulders. And that's one person, Amina. Like, I mean, there's so many of them that are Brian. Like, there's so many. I could go down and down and down the line that really have taken this thing, made it a business for themselves as well as creativity, and went on and made a life for themselves. I remember every time I work with, especially, I don't know what it is, my young sisters, I tell them, I said, let me tell you something. You can make money and also be an artist in this business. I remember coming up and they would tell us, girl, you sell McDonald's hamburgers in a commercial, you have sold out. I wish I wouldn't have listened, because baby, I went to a lot of them commercials. I would have ate them hamburgers. I said, y'all, get you some money so you can create your own content. It's not just about money. Of course we know that. But you need to learn how to create your own content. And you can walk through this world and be a proud artist just like everybody else. You know, whatever it is you want to do, just jump off and do it. It's going to be fine. And when I think about Lori Carlos, who told me to kill the editor bitch. Like when you start going through all that bullshit in your head, kill that one. Abdul Salam El-Razad, God rest his soul. Claude Purdy was, when I couldn't understand, I've always understood August Wilson because I just always moved through the world as black like that. Lisa's crazy. But August, Claude the same. Claude told me to just learn how to just tell the story. You already are who you are. The characters who August wrote about, you are that already. Now just tell the story. Because he can write. And then what happens when you're doing a monologue? And then what happens? And then what happens? And then what happens? And then you get to the end of the piece. So I can't. And just meeting August, being able to be at Penumbra and him standing right there in my face. And they were just talking and lollygagging, laughing. We were at a party. And I'm like, that's fucking August Wilson. You know what I'm saying? And so I just feel really honored to be able. Those are my stories of Penumbra. That's just how we came up. And they didn't play with us. A lot of the women, the stage managers have always been my closest friends. Mary Winchell, Lark Hatshaw, you know, have taught me things too.
You mentioned family and being a home and things like that, which is one of the things that, you know, I've been so inspired by this Atlanta theater community, is that at True Colors, we, you know, we are home to several black artists in Atlanta, several local artists. And the work that you talked about, that mentorship, is another thing that I'm really excited by with this grant opportunity, is you get an opportunity, we get an opportunity to take all of that stuff, all of that passion, all that energy, all of that technique, all of that know-how that you have, share it with the next generation. Tanya, can you just speak to why it's so important for you to give to the next generation, to the students, to the early career actors, to help them break open that talent that lies deep inside them?
I can only keep what I have by giving it away. Mm. Mm. And so as long as I know that and I keep that in the forefront, then I know that it's my job. I cannot go about this thing called theater, acting, or whatever, if I don't help pull some young people up. I'm gonna say it again, literally, theater and art saved my life. I was gonna go a different direction, and it wasn't a good direction. And if it wasn't for people coming back to get me and to say, pull, get your behind where you need to be, then I wouldn't be here. So it's crucial, it's critical that I, plus I love young people. I know that it's gonna sound cliche or corny. They're the future. Mm-hmm. I think that you can't graft an idea on a closed mind. A lot of the times the young people have open minds. That when we're gone, we all got a checkout date. They're gonna be here. And this particular type of theater that I'm talking about, I don't want it to die. I was talking to somebody the other day, and when I got off the phone with them, I wept for probably an hour because they were talking about how theater's dying. They were talking about how people don't take the work seriously. They were talking about how all this other stuff is going to take over. And I said, no, it's not, because you got people like us who are going to keep on fighting. You got people like us who love this. You got people like us who this saved us. Thank God for August Wilson for writing those words, because I had to move my resume down. So I have like 45 plays on them now, but I know I have more. August Wilson, a lot of his work is on there. Itzhak, thank God, you know, for these people. So I have to give back. It's natural for me. And I love to see young people, especially the disenfranchised, especially the ones who don't have voices. I love to see them walk into this world of theater, and whether they go into this world of theater or not, they see that the world is bigger than they know, right? And so me being one of those kids, I remember one time, it's the smallest thing. One of my mentors, I was going through something, and they came over and they were talking to me because somebody had called. My mentor, this is the first time this had happened, I was 17 years old, drove me, we sat down, and said, I want you to watch the sunset. I had never done that. The sun was just in the damn sky. But for me, like coming from that, it was something about him coming to do that. And at that moment, I realized this is what he's talking about. Come outside of the block. Come outside of the gate. Leave the yard. And those are the things that I have to give to young people. Because I probably would have been on a pole somewhere. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a pole dancer, there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that I needed, there was just, that's why it's so important. And I remember, one more thing, and I remember being one of those girls who always needed somebody just to be there for me. If somebody just could have been, like I had the people there, but I need to go save those girls who look like me, that have dark black skin, and people are telling them that they black and ugly. I need for them to see this. I need for them to know that that's not true. I need for them to know that they can walk up into true colors and they don't have to be intimidated because of the edge you speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works.
They don't have to be intimidated because they only out of 20 words we might have spoken, they only know two.
Mm-hmm.
And that they don't think they're valid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the smallest things that we take for granted. Some people don't know you need two wash rags.
One for your face.
What are you saying? Right. Some people don't know. And we assume that these babies, and there are talented people out there. We use the same people over and over again. There are some talented, raw, drop down to the bone artists, babies out there that will never get discovered because we don't go in there and try to get them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go get them. And I want to put them up there and say, girl, wipe all that off and do whatever it is you got to do and don't worry about what's happening at home. We're going to have a safe space. We're going to have a brave space. We're going to talk about it. And you climb up on that stage and you drop it all up there. And then let's see what happens. And so that's just what was done for me. And I cannot let that die. The Twin Cities, Minnesota, gave me the view. This is what we do. Like, we don't know. And everybody, I'm not just saying Minnesota, but as artists. I don't know any artist in my circle who don't have a cause or who don't have something that they believe in. You ask any one of them. And we don't get just to get to do this. Jamel, I don't have the luxury of just being an actor. I have to be an actor for my daughter. I have to be an actor for everybody. I have to, when I stand up on a stage or anything I do, it's for all of us. I never get to do it for myself because there's always somebody looking. There's always something, a story that I have to tell. There's always some cool activist thing that I'm doing. And I'm always giving. It's all about giving. When I'm up on stage, I'm giving.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
No, check the phone. Buzzing. Just check it. Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, theater was not, it wasn't my thing until, you know, until college, right? But thanks to the August Wilson and like your spirit, feel echoes of your spirit and Nikki Toombs' spirit in the way in which she talks about the students and the work that you've done at Utopian under Dr. Miller, like in, you know, the work that you're doing with those students, man. Like, I couldn't imagine the positive on the lives.
Jamel, keep your volume up.
You can't hear me anymore?
I can't hear you, not that well.
Okay, how about, I mean, I'm just gonna talk louder now. Is that?
Yeah, talk louder.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying that, like, it is such a gift for these young people for you to share your passion with them, you know. But so, yes to that. I also want to say another thing that we talked about was you have mentioned being an artist of a certain age. And, you know, again, my mama is watching this thing, so I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to disrespect you or anything like that, because she will reach out. And check me. Hey, mama. But I do want to ask you, like, talk a little bit about, you know, finding yourself 30 years in the game. How are you still trying to stay fresh What are you doing to work on your craft? How are you sustaining your success? Yes, you've talked about teaching, but what else are you doing to keep yourself fresh and ready to handle the new playwrights, the new experiences, the new technologies, and all this other stuff? What are you doing to stay at the top of the game?
I keep on working. I don't stop working. I still look at scripts. I still do monologues. I still tape at home when I have a chance. I continue to work with people. I write. Nobody probably ever see it because I'm too sensitive, but I do write. And I just do. I take care of myself. I'm always on top of what's going on. I read all the papers, Deadline and Actors Equity and whatever stuff. I just stay working. Like I don't, when I do it as a young person, I still do it now. It's just been consistent. It's just consistency, continuing to work on my craft. I took like, I don't know, last year or the year before, I wanted to know all of the different methods. So I went and read every single method. I'm more Uta Hagen-Stanislavski, but I wanted to see about myself. I had never even considered it. So I'll go in and I was like, oh, I like this. So I'm always trying to find stuff. I go to plays. I look at really good content. On television. That's it. Just the regular stuff that actors do. I take care of my body, my mind, that kind of stuff.
That's good stuff. Yo, so I'm gonna move to the answer portion. So if you have questions, drop them in here for Tanya or for me. I'm happy to repeat them and share them with to Tanya. One question that we got earlier in the pre-show, we wanted to. Someone asked, how is this current moment, COVID-19 moment, like, how was that affecting you and your craft and your ability to audition and things like that?
Well, it's slow. Everybody who knows that it's really slow. I had an audition for a TV show the other day. I just dropped that in there. They've been having these monologue things that they want us to do, so we've been doing that. Of course, we can't move around. We can't do stuff. We lost jobs. I mean, the ebb and flow of how us being artists, this always happens. I mean, this is really bigger than all of that stuff that we've been going through. But I mean, it's like as artists, we always just figure out how to keep it moving, even with this pandemic. No, I can't go do a show. No, my agent is not sending me five or six or seven auditions a week. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just slower. That's all that I can say. But I'm still working on my stuff. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff we can do online. And also now there's a lot of grant activity stuff that I have to do. I'm really busy because now that I have the grant, like I have to start doing, what are my master classes going to be? Where are we going to get the kids? Like, I have to start doing all that stuff and then thinking about what is the end goal going to be. So, I'm really working a lot now that we're down. I have time. I think I'm getting ahead of the game with my Fox Fellowship grant. I'm trying to get all that, everything in place.
Good stuff, man. We got a lot of your flowers. Amazing. I'm a big fan of telling people that you love them while they can still hear you. Here's a question coming from the aforementioned Brittany Inge. As a mentor, what are some things you've observed that hold people back to allow folks to soar? I'll say that again. What are some of the things that you've observed that hold people or allow them to soar?
That hold people back or allow them to soar that I've observed.
What are you seeing when you're working with younger artists? Like, what are the things that are holding them back from achieving their greatness?
A lot of times, I don't like questions like this because I love all of them. I don't want nobody to get offended. A lot of times, fear. Fear.
Fear.
I see it's the fear. And sometimes lazy. And sometimes they have way too many coaches and people. They have, like, sometimes people have like seven different coaches, like, and they don't even know, like, you gotta figure out who's gonna be your coach and who's gonna, like, listen. So I see people have a lot of different people in their ear and they can't sort of figure out which thing works for them because you have to figure out what works for you. Fear. And sometimes, like I said, like, it's hard to get up and do this stuff as an artist. Like, it's really difficult, but you have to push yourself. I think that sometimes we forget that there's 50 states in the union and we don't have to work in just one place. I wish that people would soar a little bit more. I wish they would say, okay, Atlanta's not checking for me this year. Let me go to Baltimore Center Stage and see what they have. Or let me go to Penumbra. Or let me go to the Guthrie. or let me go to Broadway or Off-Broadway. Let me go somewhere, but I'm not about to sit here and just sit there and complain about how I'm not getting thing. And I wish they would create more content. Those are the things that I see that. Having content but being afraid to put it out there. Also, not people gotta live. So I do find a lot of times people don't want to quit their jobs in order to do this thing, and I understand that. But some you gotta figure out your sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So I hope that.
Yeah, you know, just to pick up on that, right? Like, fear is such a huge thing, and it is such a limitation, man. But like, there are, right, that idea that you 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? Like, and it is in taking the risk, it is in working with other people, it is in being vulnerable that we have the opportunity to achieve our greatest heights. And I know that you've spoken about, you know, fear and how that has hurt you or harmed you, or not wanting to let people down, but you still try to find an extra thing that lets you dig in, that allows you to go be vulnerable and allows you to leave it out on the stage. So I think, you know, you are a test of how you can push past fear and get it out there. You know, over the next 2 years, I'm gonna continue to encourage you to push past fear on your writing, because we need your story too as a writer. So don't get out and telling people to get past fear. I'm gonna hold you accountable too, and we're gonna have to.
I do.
To get that writing out there too. I have Paris the playwright wanted to say, theater saved my life. Tanya still does. Thanks for never give us up. I believe that's Paris Creighton, a really great.
Hey, Paris.
As well. We got Kenny checking in. We got Hello, I'm Hollywood checking in. Kathy checking in. Hello. Good stuff. People are like, man, Tanya's inspired my dream to have me keep going. Good stuff, y'all. Again, keep those questions coming. Oh, man, y'all were having fun in the comment section today.
Yes!
Got a lot of scrolls, man. No, I'm going to make sure that people have to come and check this one out. This is going to be a good one to live on the IG page for a little bit of time so that people can revisit this one, because, Tanya, man, you are dropping gems, and as a representative of True Colors, I just want to say, man, we are honored and to have you as our resident artist and to help us kick off, you know, this era, and where we want to be that home for artists. We want to inspire current generation and the next generation of theater makers. You are our She Griot, and we are thankful for that. You know, you'll have involvement this next couple years in our new play laboratory. We'll be developing plays by Black artists to kind of put those out there into the American canon, kind of reverse what we're seeing where plays are kind of filtering down into the regional theaters. We want to be a home where we can kick that type out and put that content out into the rest of the world. So I'm excited for you to join us at this time as we're kicking out some of these new initiatives, and for you really to be leading that. Here is, when you feel like everything is going wrong, how do you stay positive and continue to push?
I tap into a lot of resources. I had to do like 6 or 7 things a day just to get out the door. You know, I meditate, I pray, I talk to people, I write, I feel my feelings. I cry. I think I cry every day. I think I cry about something every day. But it's okay, because I know that's why God gave me tear ducts, you know. And so I just keep going. Like, I just, Paris, for real, I just don't know how to stop. I know how to reach out for help. If things are going bad, you ask any of my friends, I'm going to pick up and phone. Or I'm going to talk to God, or I'm going to do something, but I'm never going to give up. And I think about those kids that I work with. I think about them. You know what I mean? And they need us. They need us. And so, you know, and I need me. My grandbabies, like, people need me. So I just do everything I can every day in order to just, you know, make it through the day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, know that it's, you know, it's not magic. It's not like it's not a switch. It's a process. It feels like what I hear you saying is it's iterative. It comes in cycles. It got to do it, and then you get a little bit further, and then you might have to go and do it again. And some of that longevity is really in about the person of it.
I have this little thing that I found because I was cleaning up from one of the little girls. that I taught a while ago. She's gone on. And I said, I'm gonna read that because it's another thing that keeps me going on too. I read it. There's a bunch of stuff, but this one really made me cry because her story was really deep and she went on to be really successful. So I made you read that before
Yeah.
I finish.
You said you want to read it?
Yeah, you want me to do it now?
Yeah. We got about like,
How many we got what?
we only got like 10 minutes before we.
Oh no, it's quick. It's very quick.
That's all good.
And so this is also, I think I thought about it because it also speaks to Paris's question, how do I keep going on?
Yeah, that was Hollywood.
So this little girl wrote, she wrote, Miss Jackson, before I came to your class, I felt invisible. People called me blue black spook. It used to hurt, but now that I'm going to be an actor and a nurse, it don't hurt no more. Thank you for telling me I was pretty, and every time I got my hair done, you noticed. I watched the sunset like you told me, and it did make me feel all funny inside. I'm going to miss your class, Miss Jackson, because before I came to your class, I felt so ugly, and people used to tease me all the time, but now I feel like I can do anything in this world. Thank you for always making me laugh, and thank you for making us laugh and saying that you don't play when it comes to this acting. Thank you for telling me that blue black is the best black. I'm going to do good in my studies, Miss Jackson. And when I become a nurse and an actor, I'm going to come back and let you know. And someday I hope I can be on stage with you. And I'm going to stop talking to so many boys like you told me. Bye, Miss Jackson. Enjoy your day.
Man, yeah, man, that's some stuff right there. I'm a theater thug, so I ain't gonna cry, but like that was good, man. You know, that
Yeah. And she was, I mean, just to watch the broken, watch that baby walk in and be able to, it was hard. It was rough. But she did, she had a friend, she was doing her little hair and oh, by the time she left, she was just fine. I couldn't do nothing with that little thing by the time she left. But now she's off doing some really great things with her little blue black self.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that way to wrap this up, man, and just Tanya, your spirit is beautiful. You're affecting other beautiful souls thanks to your work. We're so excited to have you share your passion, your dedication, your work with us here at True Colors. Thank you for joining us here on the True Colors podcast that we do every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Come back, check.
And thank you, Jamil. Thank you for putting me on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Kenny. Kenny gave me my first professional play in Gem of the Ocean. Kenny Leon did that. Thank you guys so much. I really love True Colors. You know I know about theater family because I was blessed to have one. Jamil, I mean, when you let me know about this grant, I was terrified. I wanted to call and cuss you out because they're not hearing me. But thank you. Just thank you for putting me on, and thank you just for being my friend and being fantastic. And I'm always in the gap for you. I'm always in the gap for everybody.
Yeah, thank you. No, I know you got my, I know,
I got your back.
and I'm so appreciative of that. So check Tanya out tomorrow on Flashback Friday, where she talk a little bit about her work as Faye. You'll be seeing a lot more of this beautiful, beautiful soul over the next 2 years, thanks to her foundation fellowship. Again, Tanya, thank you for joining me. Thank you
Thank you.
for on commenting and watching live. We'll have this up a little bit later today. So, you know, please share it, share with some people, share with somebody who needs some inspiration, man. Tanya dropped some gems today. Need a master class getting your ass up on that stage and telling the stories that you have deep inside. Make sure you share with somebody today.
And artists, get ready because I'm going to be calling y'all and putting some little money in y'all pockets. Let's do this, y'all. Let's do it. All my singing artists, my people, put your little stuff together. I need some teaching artists.
Good stuff, man. All right. Thank you, Tanya.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Love y'all.